never slow. It's never focused. Always wonder, silly me. So you stay to eternal passage. Sings a note in heaven's key.
Brother, before you get started, if you would, you just clip that to your tie, put this in your pocket.
My hair is ready?
Yep.
Well, I would like to thank you again for this opportunity to be here. And this time, I would like to share with you some very important concept that we find in the passage that was read not too long ago in John 15, 1-6, and see what we have to do with this. Because I entitled my message, The Fruitful Branches. And we understand that in the Bible, we find many different trees that are interesting in a figurative way, and the way the Lord uses His creation to show realities for our lives today. So I'd like you to open your Bibles first in Matthew 3. And I like this passage very much, especially because I have been using this passage to teach about baptism in Brazil and our ministry in the churches there. And especially some of the people that have a difficulty to understand the real baptism that the Apostle Paul delivered to us in his message. We understand that a lot of people mix it up, all the different ideas about baptism. But I like to show an important passage here in Matthew 3. And here we're going to start with the verse 7. And the verse 7, it say, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits met to repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Okay, at this passage we understand that John the Baptist is talking about two very important baptisms. The baptism of fire and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as we study through the Gospels, we are going to find out, especially the Gospel of Luke, together with the book of Acts, we understand that the Holy Spirit was given to the nation of Israel in a special moment at Pentecost, and that was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But he also talked about the baptism of fire. And he talks about this fire, and a lot of people, out of context, they get some passages in the Bible and understand that fire that he's talking about here is the fire that came upon the head of the disciples or of the apostles when they were gathered at the day of Pentecost. Those fires that were upon them. Some people think that that's the baptism of fire. It is not. When you read it, that passage carefully, you know that fire is not actually fire. It looked like flames of fire, but it's not fire. It was not burning anything. And the same way, a lot of people think there was a big wind blowing everywhere. And there was no wind blowing. It was just the noise of wind blowing. And some people don't pay attention in the scripture. But here, in this context, we can see that the baptism of fire is a baptism of judgment because of those people that were not producing fruit in the house of Israel. So the Lord gives many times several illustrations about different trees. And some of you may remember a time when the Lord Jesus Christ gave that parable about this man that he have a vine, and in the vine he found a fig tree, and that fig tree was not producing fruits. So he sent one to cut it down. And the man from the vine said, "No, let me put some more fertilizer there, and if it does not produce fruit in 1 year, then we cut it down." So, very interesting explanation about those parables and those passages we learn, and we find out that Israel, as a nation of God, they were supposed to bear fruit. They were supposed to be fruitful. They were supposed to listen to God's instruction and do what God said and become fruitful. And we understand that in God's original design, Israel was to be the channel of God's word to the world. And he designed Israel to be a channel, so the word of God will go to the world. But Israel did not became that channel, because the nation, as a nation, not individually, some people did, but as a nation, they refused. They refused to do that. And God came, and we understand, as the book of Revelation and also the prophecies of Daniel together with Matthew 24 and many other places in the Bible, we understand that Israel is going to be under judgment because of that. And that's the fire, the judgment. He cuts down the branches. So when we think about the instructions of the Lord toward Israel, let's go back to John 15 again. And here we are going to find the details of what he's talking about. Again, here he's not talking about baptism or anything. He's talking about something else. So in John chapter 15, let's open our Bibles there and read from the verse 1 to verse 6 again. He say, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and it's withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So here, the Lord is directly instructing the Israelites, the people that God had a covenant, and instructing them about to become fruitful. Well, history shows that they did not. So who was the great apostle responsible for spreading Christianity over the whole world? It was not the 12. It was the Apostle Paul. Amen. And as we understand from the words of the Apostle Paul, he said, I labor more than all of them together. Because actually, it was not him, it was the Lord through him, because he was fruitfully, he was really obeying his commission that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ, starting on the way of Damascus. Amen. So we'll look for Romans 11 now, and after this message here, we're going to see that the Apostle Paul also used the illustration of bearing fruits. And he also wants us to be branches full of fruits in this life that we have. In Romans 11, we're going to read very embarrassing verses for the nation of Israel here. Romans 11, 7. Verse 7 say, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election had obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear until this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a repentance unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentile for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fulfillment? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the death? For it's the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spare not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, and then which on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Interesting. So here the Apostle Paul is showing that the branches of the tree, were caught because they were not producing fruits. And now he put another branches there and gave the opportunity as the Gentile nations be part of the olive tree so they can produce. An interesting thing is that when we study about those kind of procedures, we understand that many times when a tree is not producing fruit, you cut a branch, several branches, and make it in what you call in
graft.
You graft a different thing in there. Different is not the same, exactly the same. Like he is putting the wild olive into that. And that will cause, sometimes you cause the other branches to also produce fruit. This is a technique they use since even the times of Christ, and even is known today. But it's interesting for us to know here, and our subject is not to know about the technicalities of all that, and our purpose is not to, for this message, is not to know that the Israelites were branches and that the olive tree, and they cut off and we were grafted in. This is not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is to address to our hearts the idea of producing fruits. So, what kind of fruits? When we think about the fruits that we can produce, what do you think? What we are supposed to do? What are the things that we do in our life here that are considered fruits for the Lord? And my question for myself and for you, how much are we involved in producing fruits? Or are we just empty branches? Are we actually producing fruits in this beautiful life that God gave us? You know, sometimes you go outside and you see beautiful trees. And they go from summer to summer and you see the whole cycles of nature, and sometimes there are some trees do not produce fruits. What do you do with them? Sometimes the fruits are not good. They are really bad. I remember we, in our land in Brazil where we bought to build the camp, I planted several trees. And there, do you know mango? Some of you know the mango fruits. I'm sorry, you don't know mango. You don't. If you go to the supermarket here in America and buy mangoes, I went there several times and I saw those mangoes and said, what a pitiful thing. This is terrible. Those are not mangoes. My goodness. Like some people that go to those countries where the mangoes grow well, you're gonna find out what mango is. Mangoes is a delicious, very delicious fruit. Very, very good. In Brazil, we have so many different species that I can't count so many they are. There are really hundreds of different kinds of mangoes, and some of them are just wonderful fruits. Very tasteful, very juicy. They're wonderful. But when you go to some place, of course, the mango is one of those kinds of fruit that it's the best when you pick it up from the tree and eat it right away. That's the best way to eat a mango. If you pick it up from the tree and put it in the box and send it through to some other countries, when it gets here, it doesn't taste like mango at all. It tastes something else. So that's what I say. You don't know mangoes. You may know, you know. It's a different taste. You know, bananas pretty good. They kind of hold it on pretty good, the taste, when they come here. You know, but not mangoes. If mangoes stay away from the tree more than a week or two, no good. It doesn't taste that good. especially under freezing or not freezing, but different temperatures or things like that, and being handled back and forth, going the truck, bumping here. Oh, they don't taste good. And I know what I'm saying, because when I was a boy, I was just claiming, you know, those trees and getting the fruit right there from the branch and eating it. It was just wonderful. That's the kind of fruit that the Lord is working to, looking to find in us.
Amen.
You know, in our land, I plant what do you call that? That tree you have here that makes those little berries, blackberries.
Mulberries.
Okay, well, I planted mulberries in our place, and I noticed, I don't know what's wrong with that plant. It didn't produce anything for a year, for two, and nothing. And I'm waiting to see the fruits. And sometimes it will come up something, but it was kind of tasteless. Something is not. It was not sweet at all. You know what happened to that tree? We burn it. Why? The fruits are bad. No good. Many times, no fruits at all. Sometimes they are really bad. So we understand that the Lord Jesus Christ, when we look for the fruits, let's see, 2 Corinthians 13, here the Apostle Paul talks about some kind of a fruit. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. Oh, I'm sorry. I got the wrong. Wrong verse. I want that verse. Let's read that verse, because I want that verse. I know I have something to say about this verse. Examining yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So we don't want to be reprobates. We know that if we came to know the Lord and you accept the Lord as your personal Savior, and you come to understand the God's redemption plan, and you accepted that, and you came to believe Christ died for your sins, and you are free from the condemnation of death, and also free from the law of sin, that's Romans 8:2, we understand that we are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, maybe some of you today here, you are not sure that if you are in Christ or not in Christ. But I want you to be sure that if you do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came down to this earth, obedient to his Father, he came down and became flesh in order to take upon himself his sins, our sins, into himself, and to die in that cross, paying the death penalty in our place as a substitutionary sacrifice. We use the word vicary and vicario in Portuguese. That means substitute. He died in your place. That means we were supposed to die there. So if you believe that he did that for you, and also believe that he resurrected on the third day, if you do believe that, so you are, and you are a branch, you are in the vine, you are in Christ. Let's use the illustration. We are part of Christ. We belong to Christ. We were baptized into Christ. We're placed into him. We were identified with him. We became God's adopted children, and we became part of the family of God. So if you believe that, so you are a branch. So we all here are supposed to bear fruit. So when we think about what kind of fruit, I can think about three kinds of fruit. In 1 Corinthians 9, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. Here, we see the Apostle Paul making a statement here that is very important. First Corinthians 9:1. Am not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? A different translation, especially my translation in Portuguese, use the word fruit here. Actually, the Corinthians church are some of the fruits of the Apostle Paul's ministry. We have also the idea of when somebody come to know the Lord through the work of any people here. Let's suppose you go out and share the gospel with someone. And if that person accepts the Lord, he becomes your son in the faith. Right? Do you know that? Have that understanding. This is the fruit of your evangelism efforts to reach people. This is one kind of fruit that we see. And the Bible is full of those fruits. When we share the gospel of the grace of God, when we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with anyone, and they come to receive the salvation through faith, and the work done by the Lord Jesus Christ, we do not save them. The Lord saved them. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, convincing them, and they become part of the body of Christ, but symbolically they become our children in the faith. And I have a lot of dear saints in Brazil that they refer to me as their spiritual father, because God gave me the privilege to lead those people to the Lord. And I'm pleased to say that when I was coming to the States in the plane, I had a chance to share the gospel with a lady in the plane, and she came to believe. And she is writing letters to me now through the internet from Mexico, where she lives. And when I start talking to her, and I didn't know which language she used, because she kind of looked Mexican, and I don't really speak Spanish, so I tried a little Portuguese, and I noticed she spoke Portuguese very well because she has been in Brazil several times. So I already invite her to go visit our mission work in Brazil when she goes back to Brazil again, and she is very excited about it. She has been learning a lot. And we understand that every place we go, every chance we have, we should take the opportunity to focus on the spiritual things, and starting with the gospel, because we never know. Many people say they are religious. When people tell me they are religious, you know, I'm Catholic, or I'm Christian, I'm from that church, I'm not satisfied. I usually ask them, well, what about if you die today and you present yourself before the Lord and the Lord asks you, why should I let you in? What would be your answer? Some people, they say they belong to evangelical churches and things, and they don't know how to answer that. And then they say, well, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Well, there's a different kind of hope, right? There are different kind of hope. Because if you jump from the plane with a parachute, what kind of hope you have that the parachute will open? You got to have a very sure hope, yeah. Right? But if you fall from with that parachute in a very strange city that you've never been before, and you stay right in the middle of the street, and you take your parachute back and put it in the thing, and now you look to that street, it looks like it's a main street, So I hope a bus can go by and pick me up so I can go to the place I want. What kind of hope is that? It's not very certain, right? Because you don't even know if there are bus system in that city. And you are hoping that there is one. And you are hoping that bus will come by and pick you up and take you to your destination. This is a very, very faint hope, right? But a certain hope, that's what we have. We have a hope that if I die today, I'm sure that my body may go to be disintegrated somewhere, but I know I'll be with Christ at the very second. Because that's the hope the Lord gave to us. And that's what you can learn in Philippians 1. Read the whole chapter 1 and you'll find the place there. It's beautiful. The assurance that we know for sure. So I ask the people, if you die today and go to heaven, and the Lord is there, and the Lord asks you, why should I let you in? What you're going to be your answer? So a lot of people come and say, well, I was always a nice guy. I didn't kill anybody. I pay my taxes and I did all. And even sometimes I gave some alms to the poor. I was such a nice guy. I didn't fight too much with my wife and I was did a good work. You know, I raised a lot of kids and I'm fine. I think I'm going to go to heaven. I'm a good person. No way. No way. Nobody goes to heaven because he's a good person. The Bible says, what? Salvation is by faith and the finished work of Christ, not by works. So nobody can boast before God. So it's very important for us to know. And when you share the gospel with people, are we focusing on the gospel? Are you focusing on the salvation of that person? Are you looking for these fruits, that fruit? You know, are you looking for the beautiful understanding that you were used as a branch to bring Christ to that person? So that's a fruit. So the Apostle Paul, he has many thousands of fruits, we see. He wrote, he shared the gospel in the church in Corinth, in the church in he shared the gospel in everywhere he went. And he was always, always sharing the gospel. So we can know that that branch called the Apostle Paul was full of fruits concerning evangelism. How are we? How many people you led to the Lord in your life? Can you count it in your fingers? Or you don't have that much of fingers? I don't have that much of fingers to count it in my fingers. Because since I came to know the Lord, this became a priority in my life. Are you talking about soccer? I don't care. I'm going to twist this subject and get to the goal. If you are talking about racing cars, I will switch the subject and go to the prize. Talk about the prize. And I always looking for a way to bring those people to change into a better conversation so we can lead those people to some spiritual subjects. Sometimes if the guy is saved, let's talk about so many things we have to share. And we do have many things to share when we read and we understand and we study the letters of the Apostle Paul. We do have all kinds of things. So this is one of the first fruits when we think about evangelizing. The people that you were able to evangelize, they become fruits of your ministry. Let's think about a different kind of fruit. Let's think about Philippians 1, verse 21 to 25. Oh, we ended up going there anyway. Philippians 1, and look at that verse. Philippians 1, 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Philippians 1, 21. And now 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet that I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. See, here the Apostle Paul is talking about edification. If I meet people that already know, already saved, what can I do to bear more fruit? What about sharing the things that we learn from the Bible so the church may be edified? So people can come to a better understanding. What is this new creation doctrine about? What is this life, the new life we have in Christ? What is this all about? How can I live a life away from sin and serving the Lord? And what are the things that I'm supposed to do? The things that I'm supposed to believe concerning my spiritual life, concerning my, you know, my edification? Can you, the body of Christ is something that is always growing. And we are, when we come to believe Christ, we become part of that building. But at the same time, we are workers of that, in that building. We became workers in the hand of God. It's a kind of a self-building construction, you know. I would like to have some of those in my land there, because most of the time I have to do the building, all the building. But the building doesn't build itself. But the body of Christ is like that. Every brick of that building helps the building to grow. And it's a very important, very interesting kind of construction. But that comes from the Lord, and we know. So the edification is the fruit, is a fruit that we can bear. In Romans 15, we're going to see a different kind of fruit. Romans 15, verse 25 and 28. Romans 15:25. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It has pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, I have sealed to them this fruit. I will come by you into Spain. Interesting, the words of the Apostle Paul. He's saying that there are different kind of works that we can do to as a fruit of our ministry. Interesting that even the Apostle Paul was involved and took a pretty much organized work to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. Some of the people don't understand why they were poor saints in Jerusalem. Well, there are many, many different explanations for that, and some of them are very exciting. I'm not going to be teaching that today, but it's important for us to understand that there were poor saints in Jerusalem. And the Apostle Paul, he was a Jew, and he understood everything from the times when he were a Jew, but he also understand now a different perspective, the Christ perspective. And he looked to everybody with no distinction, but he also have a special love for the Jews, because that was the holy nation. That was the dear one of God. So he loved that nation. And when he saw those saints going hungry, he felt that he got to do something about it. And then he had that organization of collecting contributions from many, many of the churches that the Apostle Paul started, and having them organizing those collections to bring to the saints in Jerusalem. And you know that the Apostle Paul, when he was first time he was in prison in Jerusalem, he and his defense, he told the authorities there that he went to Jerusalem to bring offerings to their people. So we have all kinds of information. Please take your Bible in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and read that chapter. That chapter is talking about giving to the poor. A lot of people take those verses and they twist those verses and use for giving money to the church. Be careful. You got to rightly divide the Apostle Paul's message. If you go to 1 Corinthians 9, then you're going to find instruction concerning giving to the church. But the instruction concerning to the poor and in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And if you miss that up, you mix those up, you're making confusion. Don't do that. When you read those verses, you're going to find out there is fruit in helping poor people. Well, we cannot help the saints of Jerusalem today, but there's a lot of other saints all over the place that needs help. Maybe you like to see your brother coming to church and you have a wonderful, nice, brand new car that you bought it, and you have a brand new house and you have brand new all the stuff, but you see some brothers they are barely making. What about helping those guys? Giving them help. Well, he doesn't deserve help. He got to be content with everything he has because the Apostle Paul said, I learned how to be content, and you know. This is not what the Apostle Paul says here. He didn't write to the saints, the poor saints in Jerusalem, and say, well, the Lord said you got to be content with everything you have. If you have just a little piece of bread, be content. Because, you know. No, he goes there and helps them. And he just made that a ministry. Just listen. Listen and learn with the model that was given to us. The Apostle Paul was giving to us as a model. A model of Christian. You want to be a good Christian? Become a copycat of the Apostle Paul. Yeah?
Yes.
And you're going to see the big difference that's going to happen in your life. A lot of fruits. A lot of fruits. Ah, people, oh, I have too many fruits. The branch is going to broken. You know. Don't worry. Don't worry. Because who sustains the branches? Who sustains the branches? It's not Christ. Oh, he's not going to let you break. He's going to clean you. He's going to pick up the fruits. And you're always going to be a very healthy branch. But if you don't produce fruits, what's going to happen to us? You know, sometimes I wonder what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's go there. I'm not making a doctrinal issue of this, but just food for thoughts. You know, let's take 1 Corinthians when he's talking about the disorder that were taking place in Corinth concerning the Lord's Supper. It says in the verse, let's start verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh the nation to himself. not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sometimes I wonder, when some people are very unfruitful in the churches, sometimes I wonder if the Lord may be thinking, well, we should cut that branch off. Cut it off. He is not producing anything anyway, so why he is among the other branches breathing the air that, you know, or taking the light of the to make photosynthesis for producing nothing? Cut it off. So, did you ever think about that? Brothers, we have so much work to do as belonging to the church. Don't be a dead branch. Let's be a clean branch. And we are going to finish with 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 19 to 22. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But if in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So this admonition, brothers, it's, I'm not directing this message specifically to any person here. I mean, I'm from Brazil. I come here once a year sometimes, maybe even not that much, and I don't know your lives. I don't know what you're doing with the instructions you receive from the Lord. But one thing I know, get yourself clean. Let the Lord clean your life. Go look for the things above. Don't go after the flesh. Don't give the flesh, don't take that liberty, that freedom we have in Christ, to give occasion to the flesh. Because doing that, we're going to be unfruitful. If we're going to follow the flesh, there are no fruits there. Only death, the smell of death. So, I, what can I say? I just pray that you may consider about your ways. Now, being personal to each one of you, what about thinking about what have you been doing with your life? Are you just a church goer? You know, those people that go to college, go to school, go to college, and keep going to college, they keep going to college, and they never work. They're just learning, never doing anything. We don't go to school just for the going, for the sake of the school. We go to specific school to be prepared specifically to a specific work. And we have to make that transition to get out of school. So get out of church. I know, don't get out of church. I mean, when you get out of church, when you get out of this seat, you remember that. We'll cross that door out. You learn something. Aren't you going to use it for the Lord's glory? Aren't you going to change your behavior? Get away from the carnal things? A lot of people are entangled with the stuff from the flesh, and they get so busy with the flesh, they don't have time to serve the Lord. And they look nice, beautiful branches, full of leaves, you know. But, you know, especially when they come to church, they polish their leaves and they come very nice, you know. I'm a believer. Look at my smile, you know. What do you do out there? You know, that's what counts. And that's what the Lord is expecting for us. Amen. He's expecting that He's feeding you spiritually every time. And that fluid that goes through the branch comes from the Lord, comes from the root. And He's taking you to produce fruits. And you have the decision to allow the fruits to come or not. That's your decision. Thank you for this opportunity. Let's close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege to become part of that beautiful tree. We understand that those illustrations in the Bible are just different ways to teach us that we are in you with a purpose. Lord, help us to understand and also to find different ways to produce fruit in our lives. As we were talking about fruits, we did show three different ways that we can produce fruits. But there are a lot more. There are many other ways that we can produce fruits. Lord, help us to see what kind of branch are we and what kind of fruit are we going to produce. And help us to remember that the strength comes from you and our spiritual food comes from you and everything that we receive in order to produce something. Let us remember, Lord, every time that we go to a place where we buy fruits, every time we go to any place that we see fruits, let us remember that you want us to produce fruits also. Let us look around and see how much we can do. Help us, Lord, because we know many times we have been kind of lazy. We have been, you know, procrastinating. Help us to stand in our feet and take a position, take a stand, and make a decision, and help us to fulfill your desire in our life. Because we know the scriptures are giving to us so we can be furnished unto good works. And you also created us for good works. So let us take this challenge in our life. Let us continue to persevere and the desire that we have to serve you, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that literally gave everything so we could be part of this wonderful work. Thank you, Lord, for your Son that died at that cross and for everything He did for us and continue to do through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Thank you for everything you have in Him. Amen. Thank you, people.
Let's all stand and sing hymn number 35 together.